Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can open up to 1 Thessalonians 2. And some of you are sitting there, wait, something seems wrong this morning. Because for the past 10 weeks, we've been opening up to Galatians 5. Last week, we finished our 10-week series as we were walking through the fruit of the Spirit and wrapped that up. And I'll just say this quickly. If you didn't get a chance to listen to that series, I really believe it was one of the most powerful series that we've had since we planted this church. And it has nothing to do with me and my speaking of that series. It has to do with just what God, even in myself, was challenging me as we walked through the fruit of the Spirit. And so I would just encourage you, if you didn't get a chance to listen to some of those or any of it at all, just when you get time, you can go online, dallas4.com, and you can listen to those messages. And I encourage you. I know I was challenged immensely, and I grew tremendously as we walked through that series as I was studying these things and learning and growing in them. And so I encourage you in the same way to go check it out if you didn't get a chance to. But this morning, we're kind of in between different series and things going on, and with the summer, it's kind of sporadic. And so as I realized we were coming to Father's Day, the Lord had led me to 1 Thessalonians 2, and as I was just praying, he had put this scripture on my heart, and it's not really a scripture that's written specifically to fathers, but I think there's some great wisdom that can definitely be applied to fatherhood. And so I want to talk about this morning being a godly father. That's the message, that's the title of our message today, is being a godly father. And I've never done this. I never like specifically did messages that went with kind of the day that it was. I don't generally do that, but the Lord just put that on my heart. And so if you have your Bibles, you can read along with me here in 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 8 through 12 is what we're going to read this morning. If I can find the right scripture. There we go. It says, verse 8, it says, "We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us. Surely you remember, brothers, our toil and hardships. We worked night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preached the gospel of God to you. You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory." Now, in these few verses, there's really four things that stood out to me as Paul is really sharing about himself and his followers here. And there's four things that I believe God desires from each of us, right? As men and women of God, there's four things in here that can apply to each of us. But because it's Father's Day, I want to direct it this morning at fathers. And I want to share four characteristics of a godly father. What it takes for us to be a godly father, at least through these scriptures, things that Paul is explaining and talking about themselves. And so the first characteristic is this: a godly father expresses genuine love. A godly father expresses genuine love. Notice what Paul says in verse 8. He says, "We loved you so much." Loved you so much, Paul says. Now, in the original language, those words expressed there were an intense kind of love. It's not the kind of love that we hear today. You know, I love chocolate. I love McDonald's. I don't know who does, but I love my ducks. Okay, whatever it may be, you throw the in there. I love my beavers. Okay, I didn't say that. Let's erase that from the message there. Someone's going to take that section and say, "Look what Darren said." Whatever it may be, it's not that kind of, you know, just that love like that. This is an intense kind of love. It's not a passive kind of love, but one that's deep and one that's continuous. The kind of love that gives over and over again. The kind of love that doesn't stop. This is the love that Paul is talking about. And I think this is an important characteristic for fathers. You know why? Because expressing love doesn't always come naturally for men, right? Am I wrong here? Women seem to have an easier time at expressing love than men do. You know, I actually think that's why in the Bible it tells us, it says husbands specifically, right? Because the Lord talks about love, but there's a few times where he calls out to husbands, love your wives. And I think the reason he calls it out is because it's not as natural for us as it is for women. For women, it's much more natural to love. Women are naturally just more nurturing and caring people than men are. Okay, I don't know why. That's how it is most of the time. You see, a great example of this is when parents have their first child. You kind of see this. It naturally takes place, right? When parents have their first child, how's dad? Right, the baby comes. It's like it's this like, oh, okay, let me hold the baby, and we're kind of awkward, and oh, the head's falling. What's going on? You know, it's kind of feeling. It's like you got to hold the head up. It's not strong. Its neck's not strong. And daddy's kind of, he looks here, just kind of like, you know, he's trying to find his groove, and it's just kind of awkward. You know, it's like I don't want to break him. I don't want to hurt them. Right, you know, and it's awkward for the dad, but for mom, it's just this natural. The mom just kind of takes and cradles the child usually. And that's not always the case, but for the most part, generally, when you look at fathers and dads, especially of new, is that awkward feeling. Mom just naturally has those nurturing instincts and takes them in and is just loving them. And then, you know, what happens next? The baby begins to cry, right? And what is dad? Dad's like, okay, what happened? What did I do? Did I just break him? What just happened, right? You know, that's how the dad responds. And mom's just naturally, oh, it's okay, you know, and they know how to just kind of quiet them. Or they're like, oh, he's just hungry. Or, oh, he just needs some food. And just naturally understands and is more nurturing in these things. You see, the reality is for us men, we have to learn to be nurtured. We have to learn this love and how to care. But if we take time to walk through the awkwardness, right, to push through the awkwardness, what happens as fathers? All of a sudden, you know, we begin to enjoy holding our kids, and there's this wonderful feeling of just having them. I remember for me, one of the greatest things with Toby when Toby was born. Toby was a colicky baby, okay? So for those that don't know what that is, it means he wakes up crying a lot, and you're just trying to calm him down, and it's not always diaper, it's not always he's hungry, it's just, I'm going to cry, and you got to deal with it, right? And he had trouble sleeping for long periods of time, but there was one way that he would sleep for at least 2 or 3 hours, and that's if I would just cradle him in on my chest, and I'd lean back in my recliner, and there was just something about holding my boy. And I just learned how awesome it was just to just hold him there. And I just watched TV shows, just hang out, and he'd sleep for 2 or 3 hours just on my chest, right? And so we enjoy that growing, and we learn how to play with them, and we watch them laugh, and we learn how to comfort them when they cry as they're young. But here's the thing. We do a great job of that with the little ones, I think, as fathers, as we get used to it. But guess what? They grow up. And things begin to get awkward again, right? You know, it's like, oh, my daughter's growing up, and how do I hug her? Oh, hi, I love you, honey, you know. And our son, it's like, is it okay to hug my big grown son who's almost as big as me, you know. And we get a little awkward with them as they grow up again. And I want to encourage you. Here's my encouragement. As I was just praying about this, and as the Lord was bringing this to me, my encouragement to fathers this morning, if you're at that stage where your kids are growing up and it's starting to get awkward again, or it doesn't really matter what stage you're at, my encouragement to you this morning is never stop telling your kids you love them. Never stop showing your kids love. Never stop hugging. Even when they're like, oh, Dad, come on. I encourage you to continue to embrace your children, to continue to show them that love, because they're going to appreciate it later on. I don't care how old you are. Don't be afraid to continue to love. You see, the love of a father is really powerful, but the love of a father is a powerful, powerful thing. Genuine love in itself, just true, genuine love for one another, whether it's a father, whether it's a friendship, relation, whatever it is, genuine love is a powerful, powerful thing. And don't lose that genuine love for someone. Learn how to love your kids in a way all the way through those ages to see them grow up to understand genuine love. You see, one of my favorite stories of love in the Bible is the story of the prodigal son. Many of us know this story. We've seen this story in the Bible or heard this story. If not, let me just explain what happens here. The story of the prodigal son, two sons. The dad's raised his two sons. They're grown up and they're men now. And the one son, he's ready. I want my inheritance now and I want to take off. And I want it, right? And so the father, he loves his child. He says, all right, here you go. And he gives him his inheritance early. And if you know how the story goes, what does the son do? The son takes the money, goes to a faraway land, and he begins to live it up. Right? He begins to party, begins to do all sorts of stuff. And what happens? He squanders everything he has. All his father gave him, every bit of it, he squanders. And when he runs out of money and he's starving and he's kind of at the end of his rope, he ends up getting a job feeding pigs, right? And as he's feeding these pigs, he's hungry and he's just like, how did I get to this place? I had it so good and look what I've done. And he's feeding these pigs and he's just thinking, man, if I could just eat the pig's food right now, I'm so hungry. And as he gets to the end of his rope, I want to read you real quick out of John 15. Verse 17 says this. He came to himself, or basically was kind of at the end of the rope, right? At the end of things. It says he came to himself and he started thinking, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father. Now I want you to notice something here. This is something that a lot of times I think we overlook when we look at this scripture. The son had just squandered his inheritance. He just blew everything. He left kind of probably in a bad situation. Oh, give me my money, I'm going. Left on bad terms, went, squandered everything away. But he felt he could go back to his father. Why? Because I know a lot of us, we go situations, I can't go back. I burnt my bridges, I this, I that, I can't go back. Oh, my dad will never forgive me, or this, whatever it is. But why did he feel that he could go back? Now, it doesn't tell us, you can't read in the scripture and say, oh, this is why he felt he could go back. But I think we can make a pretty good assumption, or we can kind of guess from what we know about the father later in this story, and as we understand the father and who the father was, that it was probably because growing up, he expressed genuine love for his son. He had expressed the kind of love that made this son feel, you know what? I have messed up, but I have a dad that loves me, and I think, if anything, at least I can go back and work for him, be one of his hired hands. And so, because of that, the son decided and was able to return. And now I imagine that this whole way home, he was rehearsing what he was going to say to his father, right? Thinking, oh man, how am I going to say, Lord, how am I going to say to my father what I need to say? And he's probably had all these thoughts of how he was going to apologize, maybe fall at his feet, say, I'm sorry, forgive me, I'll work for you, I'll do whatever, I'm hungry, I'm poor, I need help. You know, all these thoughts were probably going through his head. But before he could say anything, when his father saw him coming down the road, what happens? His father runs out to him. His father throws his arms around him and says he kisses him, right? And this is a grown man. And his father goes out, embraces him, and kisses him. This father obviously had no problem expressing love to his grown-up son. See, this is the kind of genuine love God desires from us as fathers. To love our kids in the way with a genuine love that says, it doesn't matter your failures, you can always come back. This is the kind of love God desires from us. Why? Because it's the same kind of love that he gives us, right? You see, our Father in heaven always leaves the door open for us to come back to him. It doesn't matter what we've done. It doesn't matter our failures. It doesn't matter our mistakes. It doesn't matter our shortcomings. Doesn't matter if we've left him and squandered it all. The door's always open. And as dads, we need to learn how to express this genuine kind of love, to have that kind of love. Our kids need to know that no matter how deep their sin, they can always come home. They will always be loved. VeggieTales does an illustration of the prodigal son. And in that, it came out years ago. I don't know, probably four or five years ago it came out. And in it, that moment when the father sees the son, there's a song in VeggieTales. And it's a song that my wife began to sing to our kids before we put them to bed at night. Each night before we put our kids to bed, we pray with them. And then we sing a song. And it started years ago with the tree song. It's a song about becoming a strong young tree and growing the roots deep, you know, and talking. It's a spiritual kind of song of growing in the Lord. And we'd sing that song. Well, when this movie came out and after that song, my wife started singing this song, and we kind of rotate. One night we'll do one song, one night we'll do the other. And I'm not going to sing to you the song. I'm afraid I might put you guys to sleep this morning. But I want to share with you the words, and it's simple words, but this is what the song says. It says, I love you today. I love you tomorrow. I love you as deep as the sea. I love you in joy, and I love you in sorrow. And you can always come home to me. You can always come home to me. And we sing this song to our kids because we want it ingrained in our kids' heads. It doesn't matter what they do. It doesn't matter their failures. They can always come home. They will always be loved and accepted. And as fathers, we need to express genuine love in a way that shows this to our kids. And just as people, we need to learn to express genuine love in the way that God desires for us to express that to others. Now, the second characteristic we see in these verses with Paul is this. A godly father walks the walk. A godly father walks the walk. Paul writes in verse 8, he says, we loved you so much that we delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. See, notice that there's a connection here between gospel and their lives. Okay? There's a connection here. Not just here's the gospel and here's our lives. No, there's a connection. Gospel and lives. You see, it's one thing to share it. It's one thing to talk it. But it's another thing to live it out, to actually walk it. Now, I'm gonna pick on my dad a little bit. He's here this morning. My dad came up here for Father's Day, and I'm gonna pick on him just a little bit. My dad used to use this phrase. Now I will say this: my dad would use this in a joking manner. This is not the way my dad really felt, but in a joking manner at times when he was doing something I was told I couldn't do, and he'd be like, "Well, you know, how come you get to do that and I can't?" One of his favorite responses would be, and I'm sure many of you have maybe had fathers that say this, or maybe you say this to your own kids. He would say, "Well, do as I say, not as I do." Have you guys heard that? You know, do as I say, not as I do. Now, my dad was joking, but the reality is, a lot of dads in this world, we operate in this way. We really believe, do as I say, not as I do. You see, they want their kids to do the right things, but they don't want to have to model it and walk it out and live it. But Paul says here, when we lived among you, basically, we not only told you the good news, we modeled it for you. We lived it out. We showed you what it looked like to live the way God wanted us to live. And as fathers, I think we have a responsibility to model Christ to our kids, to model the Christian life for our kids. Now, does it mean that we have to be perfect? No. No. We're not perfect. We're never going to measure up to the Father, right? We're going to fail and we're going to make mistakes, but I think we should be doing the best that we can to be the example God has called us to be. The fact is if we call ourselves men of God, if we call ourselves godly men, then our kids ought to know it by the way we live. They ought to see something different in our lives than their friends whose fathers aren't godly men. For example, being a Christian should, capital S-H-O-U-L-D. Being a Christian should affect the decisions we make every day. It should. We should make difference our decisions different than what the world makes if we really are Christians. And the values in our homes should be different from those found in non-Christian homes. You see, if we want to be godly fathers, we can't just talk the talk. We have to be walking the walk and demonstrating what it looks like to live our lives for Christ. Paul did that. He showed us a perfect example of that. And he tells us that basically we see in those scriptures that we should be doing the same as fathers and just as men and women of God, walking the walk that he's called us to. The third characteristic we see in this verse is this: a godly father demonstrates a good work ethic. Paul says in verse 9, "You remember, brothers, our toil and hardships. We worked night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preach the gospel of God to you." No one could ever accuse Paul of not having a good work ethic. No one could ever accuse Paul of not working hard. He knew what it meant to lay down his life for the Lord. And I think we have a responsibility as parents, as fathers, to teach a good work ethic to our children. You see, oftentimes if our kids don't see a father who is a hard worker and who has a good work ethic, they'll never learn it. They'll never get that for themselves. And I think that there are two ways, when we talk about demonstrating a good work ethic, there's two ways that we teach this to our kids. The first is by example. The first is we demonstrate it for them by working hard ourselves and letting our children see that in us. To see that hard work, to see that effort that we put out. You see, young kids so often emulate their parents, right? They want to be like their parents, and they want to do what their parents do. And if they see you working hard, they want to do the same. They want to work hard as well. So if we demonstrate these work ethics with balance, and let me say that, fathers, okay, because we struggle in this, with balance, okay, because it can also set a bad example for our kids. The father that's out of the home 80, 90 hours a week, and to the kid, they despise work. They don't want work because they see, well, work pulls them away from me and I don't get to ever see them. And they're gone and work. It's all about work. And where am I in this situation, right? So there has to be some balance. I have to watch that as a pastor. As a matter of fact, I'll be honest with you, I struggled when the Lord said, He's calling me to be a senior pastor. And I remember specifically having a conversation with the Lord and said, "Lord, I will do this because I will follow you wherever you lead me, as long as it's not at the expense of losing my kids and family." Because we see that happen all the time with pastors as well. If you look, how many pastors over the years, I've grown up with this, that the pastor's kids are the worst kids in the church, right? Why? Because they can so much, they're so much focused on everything else and everyone else's problems, and their kids and wife get left to the side. And it's not just church, it's work, it's anything, it's whatever. And so there has to be balance. We need to show a good work ethic in work and home and in everything in life, okay? And so there's balance in that. I want to throw that in there. But if we can demonstrate a good work ethic, they'll begin to learn it through our examples. Especially that balance when they see that dad can be home to play catch, you know, but works hard over here. It's like, wow, that's cool. I want to have that. I want to be like that. And that's what I want to teach my kids. And I hope that's our desire to teach our kids. And we do that by example. But secondly, we teach our kids by allowing them to do it themselves. We have to give them the opportunity to do things. We have to allow them to make their own mistakes and learn from their mistakes. And this is where we struggle. I struggle with this sometimes. You know, my kids are trying to make something, even just drawing stuff. Oh, well, here, you got it. You know, I'm such a perfectionist. I want to take it from them and redraw it from them. And then, okay, there, that's how it should be, right? And they haven't learned anything. They haven't learned anything from it. The reality is we have to let them try. We have to let them make mistakes. We have to give them, listen to this closely, we have to give them a safe place to fail. We've talked about that. It's okay to fail. It's okay to try things and to mess up. It's okay. And so we have to give them a safe place to fail. My wife, some of you may know this, some of you may not. My wife is a proofreader. She works from home and proofreads for Harvest House Publishing Company down in Eugene. And she used to work there when we lived there. When she left, they send her books and she proofreads. And sometimes, you know, she'll work 20 hours a week, and other times there'll be no work. You know, it's one of those just kind of depends on seasons and that kind of thing. But she proofreads. And about, I don't know, probably 5 or 6 months ago, maybe it was longer than that. Time flies right now. But she was reading a book, proofreading this book, and in it she shared this story with me of what she read. And the lady that was writing this book shared it with a friend of hers. And this friend of hers had kids that one had graduated and was in college, and the other was about to graduate from high school. They were about ready to be empty nesters, to get the kids out of the house. And right about that time, guess what? I'm pregnant, you know? And so it was like, oh man, we already raised our kids and now we're pregnant again. And they ended up having two kids, and I think, Stacy couldn't remember for sure, but I thought she had said at the time that they just didn't want the one child to grow up by itself with the other ones out of the house, so they had two kids. So they had this set of kids that had grown up and were out of the house, and then the next set of kids that were kind of growing up. And she shared about the two kids, or the four kids, the two sets of kids. And she said her older kids struggled in life, struggled with jobs, struggled with situations. Why? Because she talked about how with her first kids, she did everything for them. When they forgot something for school, she'd, I'll take it, and she'd bring it to school, and she never let them face the consequences of their own mistakes and their own actions. She always came to save them in whatever it was. And these older kids, when they got older, they struggled with jobs. They kept losing their jobs. They couldn't, you know, because there was no, hey, mom usually bails me out. Mom's not here now, and it didn't work for them anymore. And then she shares about her younger kids that she, sometimes it cost her kids some grades here and there, but she didn't bail them out. She didn't bring things to the school. She didn't do everything for them like she did with the first set of kids. And it was amazing the difference of how this work ethic that they learned in life, and that they succeeded in their jobs because they knew what it was to push through, to try, to fail, and to do what you had to do to get the job done because mom wasn't going to bail you out. And I thought, what an amazing picture and an amazing story. You see, if we want to see our kids grow up with a good work ethic, we have to model it for them, but we also have to give them the opportunity to learn it, to try it, to do it themselves. And sometimes that means they're going to make mistakes, but that's okay. Because as we've talked about over the last several weeks, sometimes it's from those mistakes that we grow the most, that we grow the most in who we are. And so God's desire is that we model that for our kids, that our kids learn what it means to have a good work ethic. And it comes from us as fathers and parents and leaders modeling and showing that to them and allowing them to do it. The fourth and I think really the most important characteristic that we see in this verse is this, is that a godly father operates in the power of the Holy Spirit. A godly father operates in the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul says in verse 10, "You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed." He says here, they're holy, righteous, and blameless. That's a pretty bold statement, right? To say about yourself that you're holy, righteous, and blameless. But you see, Paul can say this not because he's those things on his own, not because by himself he's those things, but he can say those things because with Christ in him, he can be holy, righteous, and blameless. And you see, the same holds true for us. Christ in us. You've heard me share that scripture. Christ in us, the Holy Spirit in us, makes us the hope of glory, makes us the father, the mother, the person that God has called us to be. You see, God has called us as fathers to be spiritual leaders in our family. And here's the thing, we'll either lead our families closer to God or we'll lead them farther away. God's desire, obviously, is that we lead them closer to him. And the only way that we can do that is through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's what we've been talking about in our last series, the fruit of the Spirit. We've talked about all the fruit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, all these things we can't attain on our own. These are the things of the Holy Spirit. And when we allow the Holy Spirit control of our lives, then we can operate in these things. When we operate in the Holy Spirit, then we're able to do these other three characteristics. If we operate in the power of the Holy Spirit, then we're able to express genuine love. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is genuine love. We're able to walk the walk because it's not in our strength, it's in His strength. And we're able to demonstrate good work ethic because of the Holy Spirit alive in us. It's the Holy Spirit that gives us the strength to do these things, and we have to operate. And it's not this weird, how do I operate in the power of the Holy Spirit? Christ is in us. When we say yes to Him, He's in us. And it's a matter of allowing Him control and just to live our lives through His power, through His grace, and through His mercy. I'll finish here. The last two verses we read finish by saying this. It says, I think it's 11 and 12, "For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comfort, urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into His kingdom and glory." And even though these verses aren't directly written to fathers, Paul points out that these should be characteristics of a father. As we celebrate Father's Day today, God's desire is that this would be the picture of being the father He's called us to be, a godly father who walks out these things in our lives. And I want to encourage you as we finish in this way, for the fathers here today. Some of you may look at these things and go, man, I've blown it, as many of us have. We all fall short. And you think, man, what can I do? Maybe some of you, your kids are grown up and you think, man, it's too late now. It's never too late. It's never too late to learn to love. It's never too late to take on the characteristics of the Father that God desires in and of us. You cannot change the past, but you can change the future. And so my encouragement to you today is to say, okay, Lord, maybe I haven't been the things that You've called me to be, but I want to begin to do that and live that out now at this point in this moment in my life. And I encourage you to grab hold. And the only way you're going to do it is through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you're not a father in here, I want to encourage you, because this scripture wasn't specifically written to fathers, but genuine love, these things are things that we just as people need to learn to walk in. And again, we do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. God's just calling us to be the best that we can be, giving Him the glory and giving Him the honor in all things. And so learning how to walk out these things in your life, however it applies, but allowing the Holy Spirit to be our strength that allows us to do that. Amen? Let's finish in prayer. Lord, I thank You for this word. And I thank You for the challenge that You give to us to live the life that You've called us to live. Lord, You've called us to be men and women of God, mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, leaders, whatever it may be, Lord, however we fall into that, Lord, You've called us to be these things, to walk these things out. And the only way that we can really do it, it goes back to the song we sang earlier when we learned to surrender, Lord, raise the white flag, quit doing it on our own, and begin to do it through the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, Lord. When we say yes to You, Your Spirit comes and lives in us. And we can choose to operate in that Spirit or continue to operate on our own. And Lord, we want to be people who learn to operate in Your Spirit, to live the life that You've called us to live, to be faithful, to be godly fathers, godly mothers, godly men and women of God, Lord. Teach us how to do that. And Lord, this morning I just want to pray a special prayer, as it's Father's Day, upon those who are fathers, Lord, whether they're fathers with young kids or fathers with kids that have grown, whatever it is, Lord, I pray Your hand and blessing upon these fathers, Lord. Lord, there is a special calling upon the life of the father, just as the same as there's a special calling upon the mother, Lord, but You have a specific calling upon each father, Lord. And I pray that, Lord, whether we've messed that up in the early years or throughout our years of fathering, whatever, Lord, that You would help us to realize it's never too late to begin to be the father that You've called us to be, Lord. And so I just pray Your blessing and hand upon fathers today, Lord. May You encourage them. May You help them become who You've called them to be, Lord. We thank You and praise You for our fathers, Lord. We thank You for You, Lord, the father that demonstrates what a true father is, the love that never gives up on us, whose door is always open for us to return. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for that, Lord. Thank you for these things. I pray you just seal them in our hearts this morning, Lord. Allow us to walk out of this place encouraged that we're going to be the best father, the best mother, the best man, woman, brother, sister of God you've called us to be, Lord. We just thank you and we praise you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.